Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Croakington, and we are at the bottom of a spiral on level 28 of Wackiner's Mad. Because I forgot to save and various things happened. I had to do the last few floors again. And that's why you actually save, because although you might not lose your progress, and you can just pop back in, you can't guarantee that, especially say if you load up something else. Probably because I loaded up another character. That probably messed things up. Or maybe because the game was updated somehow, which meant, of course, that everything went back to the previous save. Anyhow. Save. Yeah, you should save. Anyway, by doing that, I confirmed that, yes, the numbers behind the Tackerback, they change. Which is actually pretty impressive that he's made it so that the numbers are different. But you get new different numbers, which always do some math and make it so you get exactly one of each number between 1 and 6. Not quite sure how you do that, but it seems like a pretty fiddly thing to code in, all things considered. You know what? I think. If it just had it, oh yeah, it's the same numbers any time, no one would really care. But I guess that by doing it, changing the numbers every time, it means people have to actually pay attention. Rather than, I think what a lot of gamers sort of get into the mode where they just have the game on one half of the screen or one screen and have a walkthrough on the other half of the screen and just follow the walkthrough to the letter and not actually pay that much attention to the game. Then complain that the game isn't fun. That they're following the walkthrough all the time, when that's the thing they chose to do. Wackiner's Mad is I think probably one of the few stages in Swift where you go, "Oh, I've no idea what to do. I'm gonna go to the wiki, and then that figures it out for you." But I mean, if you're paying attention and you think the sort of lateral. You think in the way that the GM expects you to, then you'd figure it out. I mean, I don't think I've looked at the wiki, actually, I'm stuck on this time, but admittedly, it's my seventh one through, so that's probably not the way. But people have figured it out. obviously, because there's the wiki, so. Oh, but maybe, yeah, yeah. It's difficult, but I don't. The guide isn't mandatory to get through Wackler's Mad. It helps, because obviously it helps, but. Yeah, I think it's probably in that sweet spot of difficulty where you go, I think the overall majority of people will figure it out just on their own. But it's not so easy that it's mindless, and it's not so difficult that you pretty much have to use a guide. It's in that sweet spot of puzzle difficulty. It's puzzle difficulty for this when it's, you know, reactions or having the exact white build in advance. That's a different level of difficulty where you can go, yeah, where honestly anyone could be just, stopped dead in their tracks, and then figure out, oh, you consult a guide and the advice is get good, or oh yeah, and anyway, using this item, and how do you get this item? And it turns out the entire guide is dependent on you having followed the guide to the letter. And you know, if you're there right now, and you know, you can't go back to that stage, because you're stuck. You're either completely stuck because you've just saved, and now you can't go back, or you can go back, but it's a fiddly widdly wob. Or there's very limited things you can do. Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people who write guides think. Don't consider that the people who play the game aren't actual experts. Because that's why he went for the guide. Who knows? Anyway, I'm going up the spiral now. You continue along the ledge, the deafening roar of grinding gears and churning wheels from far below reminds you. One false step on this treacherous pass will likely prove fatal, except it can't, because that's just really annoying. It's just so annoying if you've got 3/4 of the way down this level and then you die, as you'd be like, I can't. I'm going to have to put aside playing this for a couple of days while my wage dries down. And if this happened repeatedly over the game, I think the frustration may, even a game as good as this, the frustration would reach a level where you're like, when I play this game, I spend most of my time being frustrated. And when I finally get to the good stuff, I'm not in a mental mood to appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's difficulty for me. Anyway, let's keep going. Alright, here's the first carving on the way up, which was the last carving on the way down. Right, to the first of the balls in the wall. The wall orbs, which of course means Hammer of Icy Wrath. 64 experience general. You hold up the Hammer of Icy Wrath, tilting its massive frost-covered head towards the icy blue orb. The floating orb immediately flares brightly, dazzling your eyes with its azure radiance. After only a few moments, the dazzling glow fades, leaving behind no trace of the blue orb. Much to your astonishment, however, you discover that another small blue gem, its colour nearly identical to that of the vanished orb, is now embedded in the face base of the hammer, the fearsome hammer's frozen head. Yep, Everything's about gemming up this hammer. And here's where the next engraving, the next corner, and the next corner, it's another warp. Hovering in mid-air at the corner of the narrow ledge is a glowing, fist-sized blue orb. The floating orb is covered by what appears to be a thin layer of ice. When you attempt to approach the orb, the strange spear moves swiftly beyond your grasp. It's hammer time. And 64 XP to general, and it's the same text as last time. Alright, now keep spiralling up. Your slow and cautious progress on the narrow ledge comes to an abrupt halt as a group of tall, thin, shadowy figures suddenly appear just up ahead, the edge of your light. Ah, that's why they can sneak up on you, because it's dark. It's dark, so you can't see them coming from all the way up at the top of the spiral, because it's too dark. And really, even if you did see them, could you actually do anything? If you're at the bottom of the spiral and you saw, I don't know, 15 Otruk walking down the edge, what could you really do? Admittedly, you're a magical person, so there's a lot of things you could do. I mean, well, let's go through the skills. Okay, well, archery would help. Diplomacy definitely won't help with Otruk. Diplomacy is useless for them. Horsemanship won't help because there's no horse here. Law, seamanship definitely won't help. Thievery, yeah, might help. Maybe you could figure out some devious trick. Unarmed combat, not close enough. Weaponry, not close enough. Same for the weaponry sub-skills. Woodsmanship. You're not in a wood, so no. Alright, powers. Now, what powers could you use? You could conjure something. Just conjure something in their path. Maybe, I don't know, a giant banana peel. And then they just slip on it. And they go, as they get grinded up by the gears. That could work. Or destruction. You destroy them. Divination, probably not so useful because you know what they're going to do. Because they're Otruk, the only thing they ever do is try to kill you. Apparently they can do other things. They were building Coratel's fortress, so they can do other things. But we haven't really seen it in person, we just inferred it. Elementalism, obvious enough. Have an elemental swat them. Fortification, I guess you could put a barrier directly in front of them. That wouldn't really do anything because you'd get to the barrier eventually. Okay, put up a barrier and then just have the barrier move and sweep them off. I don't know if you can do that with fortification. Because I don't think you've ever seen yourself actually move a fortification barrier. So consider gating. Well, plenty of ways. You either gate up yourself past them, and then presumably they won't be a threat anymore. Gate up yourself past them, gate something in to fight them, put a gate below them so they fall in and are gone forever. That's a few examples. An illusion, probably not so much. I mean, you could conjure something in front of them to distract them. I don't know, maybe conjure an illusion that the slope isn't where it is. Yeah, just make a fake floor for them to walk on and make the real floor not there. Yeah, make an illusion that the corner comes sooner than it does. They take the corner, they walk, their programming informs them is the proper floor, but in fact they just go clonk, clonk, clonk. Necromancy, yes, some sort of undead. Well, No. Probably wouldn't work here. I mean, you could call an undead, but that's pretty much gating again, so there's nothing really dead to use here. Restoration? Nah, not much use to that. Shadow magic could do something. Shadow magic can nearly always do something. Yep, and telekinesis, just throw a telekinetic blast at them, and some of them are destroyed, some of them fall down. Maybe some of them are only damaged. So most of your powers you could do something with. Probably maybe a bit more lateral thinking. I might have been able to raise even more of them, but most of them, yeah, there's things you could do. But nah, that don't mean skipping out on this. A small band of 3-0 of the same primitive design you've encountered elsewhere through the labyrinth stagger out of the gloom and fearlessly advance upon you. Realizing it would be impossible to successfully flee from them along the ledge, you boldly draw yourself into combat ready stance and prepare to face the 3-0 at one time, unless you use gating. But I guess there just isn't the time for that. The first of the Otrok staggers forward and attacks, teetering unsteadily as it swipes out you through its iron-tipped wooden limbs. The Umdrol's oaken wand is already equipped. I'm just going to quick combat these, because these Otrok fight like all the other Otrok. And if you've seen one Otrok fight, heard in this case, I guess seen if you're physically playing it, and heard again if you're playing it and you have to use a screen reader. Anyway, if you've done one Otrok fight, you've pretty much done them all. They're all quite similar. Maybe not one. You probably have to go through a few to go through all the rare events, like the level it adapts to. But once you've done a few of them, you're not going to discover anything new by manually fighting anymore. So I'm going to be quick combating these. Quick combat. It's unable to attack this round, its final round. And not just because it's dead, which it is, but because it was stunned by Umdrol's Oaken Wand in round 12, or maybe an early round. Must have been an early round. 25 XP. You step back from the shattered remains of the Otrok and instinctively draw yourself into a battle-ready stance. The next Otrok, wobbling, but never losing its footing, moves forward and attacks, swiping out at you with its iron-tipped wooden limbs. Quick combat. It is slain. 25 XP. You step back from the shattered remains of the Otrok and instinctively draw yourself into a battle-ready stance. The last of the Otroks lurches forward and attacks, driving you back with a series of swift and savage strikes. Begin combat. It is slain. 25 XP. You step back from the shattered remains of the Otrok and instinctively draw yourself into a battle-ready splice. Then, realizing you defeated the last of the sinister wooden iron beings, you lower your guard and exhale sharply. Well, that's that for a bit. 96 experience to general, with sweat streaking down your brow and your heart pumping furiously. You look over the twisted, splintered remains of the flora locorok, and I just kick them to the side. Kick them all off the edge. I hope those gears aren't doing anything important. At last, when you've recovered from the brutal engagement, you make a quick check of your gear before resuming your cautious ascent along the narrow ledge. And there's another carving. Keep spiralling anti-clockwise. And up. There's a blue orb. Use the hammer. 64 experience to general. And another little gem is in the base of the hammer's head. Your slow and cautious progress on the narrow ledge comes to abrupt halt as a group of tall, thin, shadowy figures suddenly appear just up ahead, the edge of your light. A group of five Otoroq, the same primitive design you've encountered elsewhere through the labyrinth, stagger out of the gloom and fearlessly advance upon you. Realizing that it would be impossible to successfully flee from them along the ledge, you boldly draw yourself into combat-ready stance and prepare to face the five Otoroq one at a time. Just going to be quick combating these. That's the first, 25 experience. Second. And third. Bit of healing. Fourth, the penultimate. Draw myself into battle-ready stance. The last of the Otoroq lurches forward and attacks, driving you back with a series of swift and savage strikes. Quick combat! It is slain. 25 XP. You step back from the shattered remains of the Otoroq and instinctively draw yourself into a battle-ready stance. Then, realizing you've just defeated the last of the sinister wooden iron beings, you lower your guard and exhale sharply. 160 experience to general, so it's 32 experience times the number of Otoroq you beat. So you get more experience from the post, I guess, chain bonus than you do from the combat. But really, the experience you get from the combat experience, it goes directly to things. So might be more useful, especially if you're reluctant to dip into your general experience, but it's a modest amount of experience, all things considered, so you're not going to be, whoa, that's a lot of experience, but it all adds up. With sweat streaking down your brow, your heart pumping furiously, you look over the twisted, splintered remains of the fallen Otoroq. At last, when you recover from the brutal engagement, you make a quick check of your gear before resuming your cautious ascent along the narrow ledge. Keep going anti-clockwise. Alright. I'm now... Okay, one... Seven Otoroq this time. Just once again, I'm going to be quick combating these. 25 experience... combat experience for each one. Like all combat experience, it's split between weaponry, general, whatever weaponry subskill you use, and also if you use unarmed combat, it would only go to that instead of two weaponry skills. So if you used unarmed combat a lot, you would get it leveled up faster from the fights than regular weaponry, but only a little bit. I think most of your experience comes from the all skills and powers things. Well, yeah, you do so many fights. Oh, who knows? You step back from the shattered remains of the Otoroq and instinctively draw yourself to battle where he stands. Right, number 5, quick combat. 6, there's the penultimate, and the final one. 25 XP, the enchantment of metal and devastation helped with that fight. Now, realizing you've just defeated the last of the sinister wooden eye beings, for now, you lower your guard and exhale sharply. 224 experience to general. At last, when you've recovered from the brutal engagement, make a quick check of your gear before resuming your cautious ascent along the narrower ledge. Okay, now I only need one spiral round to get the one loop round to get to the top. Hammer of Icy Wrath, 64 experience to general. Alright, 5 Otoroq again, it's just quick combat them, like you always do with Otoroq. That first one was only 23 experience. I guess it didn't have time to adapt, which means its MR was low, which means you get less experience. It's sort of handy. Oh, only 23 that time, but well, we're talking 2 experience. So it gets only a little bit stronger when it adapts. 160 experience as a general for defeating all of those. And there's another math carving behind the bird carving. 4 Otwork at a time. Maybe they'd be slightly more deadly if they bunched up in a group, but I guess they really can't surround me here because the ledge is so narrow. All they can do is hope to push me off. But there's really no mechanics for that, so... Well, no mechanics in battle. Out of battle, yeah. 128 experience for defeating those 4. Keep going. Just another 3 Otwork. Is it random or is it by stages? I think it's probably by stages. You know, so you can ensure you've slain enough on the way up. 96 experience for just those 3. Northeast corner. Use the orb. 64 experience to general. Alright, we're near to the top now. Another 5 Otwork. They are not going to last very long because of quick combat, which is really handy. I would again recommend you do some manual fighting every now and again so you can, you know, read the text of how they fight. Especially some of the specials are quite interesting. And, you know, you can react to things in battle. 160 experience for that. Northwest corner, there's another engraving we got shattered, and then found the math engraving below. That's 9 Otwork. Alright. This is the most so far. Is that by design or... Who knows? Well, someone who's played this twice, but, you know, close to each other that they remember. Which isn't me. I've done the going down twice, but not the going up. Well, twice, but twice recently. 23 experience. This is number 7 of 9. Not 25. 25, last one. 228 experience to general, 1024 experience to general, and then 128 experience to all skills and powers. With sweat streaking down your brow and your heart pumping furiously, you look over the twisted, splintered remains of the fallen Otwork. At last, when you've recovered from the brutal engagement, you make a quick check of your gear before resuming your cautious ascent along the narrow ledge. Okay, keep going. Oh, we've got an inverted pyramid formation. Because the way down just appeared right at the top. Just did. I guess that's how Wapkinar designed it, somehow. Don't know if the Otwork were part of the original design. Might be, might not. Hard to tell. Place your hand in the impression. You place your hand into the hand-shaped impression just below the engraved skulls. Your hand begins to tremble inside the impression. For a fleeting moment, the entire slab shudders. You quickly withdraw your hand and step back from the slab. Another 384 experience to general. A bright flash of green light erupts from the centre of the stone slab, momentarily obscuring the gruesome engraving that adorns its rugged surface. You immediately realise your way down to the next level of Wackner's perilous labyrinth has just been unlocked. Then I shall go there, down to floor 29. And there I am. Okay, this looks to be a rather large floor. I'm near the north side. And I'm a little bit of a corridor that has alcoves to the west where I am, and to the east, and there's something in the middle. We shall see what that is. Suddenly, As you step into the corridor, a loud rumble from behind causes your heart to skip a beat. You spin around to confront the unnerving sound, only to discover that the alcove which you stepped in is still empty. Upon close inspection, however, you make an unwelcome discovery. The engraved slab that would normally allow your passage off this level and out of the labyrinth entirely is no longer there. With a faint but glowing sense of despair now clawing your resolve, you turn and prepare to begin your exploration of the gloomy corridors. So, there is no way up, and presumably across the side was the way down. Here's another Okurk archetype. Just going to smash that for another 17 experience. And there's another one. Lots of Okurk around here. Exploration status is a sizable number of wandering foes remains. Things move unseen, just beyond the range of your light. In the deep gloom of this maze level. Let's go north. The north side of the... I'm on the north side of this floor. And there's a question mark here. A block of white stone protrudes from the wall in this section of the corridor. Emblazoned in black upon the smooth surface of the white block is the silhouette of a serpent. As you stand examining the serpent's image, it suddenly begins to weave. Then, as quickly as it started to move, it once again becomes still. Alright, I'm going to go east. An Okurk tries to block my path, but it just turns into 17 experience.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I've went a bit east, and then we have a suddenly, without warning, a strange sensation washes over you. Your vision momentarily blurs, and when it clears, you immediately realise you're not where you just were. You've been teleported. I'm in the southwest corner of this map, and there's a little square in the southwest corner with a question mark northwest, in the northwest of the southwest corner. Northeast, the southwest corner, opposite where I am. Okay, what's in that little question mark? A short iron lever protrudes from the wall here. an outline of a serpent engraven just to the right of it. Pull it. 32 experience to general. Well, apparently I should have pulled it. You take hold of the iron lever and pull it down. After several moments, you release the lever and watch as it slowly returns to its region. Pull the lever again. No. It's a one pull only. Okay, I'm now making my way east. I've been teleported again. I'm now in the middle of the dungeon. In the middle row of the dungeon, there's a lot of squares that just white next to each other, and then another square below, and the bottom of the square below is a question mark. A strange feeling suddenly comes over you, as if your energy is being rapidly drained away. Picking a number, bonus of 50. 20 for more, 20 for mind, 10 for spirit, got it 75 or more, pick now. 113 success. You're able to stave off the worst effects of the strange draining magic that has assailed you. Only 2 Neville Reserve was drained away at that time. Your exploration comes to an abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wackner's Labyrinth. A mechanical ogre, its torso, head and hulking limbs formed out of a haphazard collection of iron and copper, stomps towards you out of the gloom ahead. The monstrous creation, its gaping maw filled with jagged metal teeth, rattled loudly as it moves in to attack. It's a mechanical ogre. Quick combat. 14 XP. Thankful to have survived the encounter, you spend several moments checking over your gear for once again setting off through the labyrinth. Oh, the drainage check. And 130 is a success, so only 3 Neville Reserve drained away. And now west is something. A large, intricate engraving of Attacker Back adorns the wall. Here, examine the engraving. As you step up to the wall and attempt to more closely examine the engraved Attacker Back, a swarm of weaving shadows draw up around the carving, completely obscuring it. Unable to see through the curtain of gloom created by the moving shadows, and unwilling to remain too close to the living gloom, you step back from the wall. Wait a minute, what about shadow magic? It succeeded, but it didn't succeed at doing anything. You step back from the wall. Okay, and in the middle of the south side, a block of white stone protrudes from the wall in this section of the corridor. Emblazoned in black upon the smooth surface of the white block is the silhouette of a serpent. As you stand examining the serpent's image, it suddenly begins to weave. Then, as quickly as it started to move, it once again becomes still. Guess it's shy. Ogre-arc archetype, quick combat that. 17 experience. I tried to move into a square in the southeast corner, but I was teleported. So now I can. Now I'm in the northwest corner. And there's another lever to pull on the opposite side of that little square. Pull the lever. Refuses to budge. I hoped I would be able to pull it, but maybe not yet. Been teleported, and now I'm in the middle. Okay. I'm in the middle layer of the dungeon. Drainage check. Success. Only 3 Neville Reserve drained away. Archetype of an Otawuk. 15 experience. Alright. On the west side, right in the middle, it's a question mark. A white block of stone protrudes from the wall in this section of the corridor. Emblazoned in black upon the smooth surface of the white block is a silhouette of a serpent. As you stand examining the serpent's image, it suddenly begins to weave. Then, as quickly as it starts to move, it once again becomes still. I'm not really sure what you've got to do in this one. I assume pulling those levers will be important. Ah, this is new. Your trusty light source splutters as a dense, churning wither of gloom suddenly surges along the passage. As the unnatural darkness surrounds you, you quickly become aware of something slithering through the silence. Only a split second later, a massive, inky black silhouette of a horned serpent rises up before you. The shadow serpent, easily the size of a small dragon, silently stretches wide its fang-filled jaws as it prepares to lunge at you. Well, it's a shadow, so let's use shadow magic. It succeeded. 32 experiences shadow magic. You hurriedly channel the power of shadow magic. At once, a chorus of shrill, ghostly whispers fills your head as the shadows arrive, sleeping through the sea of gloom to heed your summons. The fearsome, silhouetted serpent suddenly shudders as the shadows go to work. Despite having been weakened by the attack of the shadows, the serpent lunges at you, its jaws stretched wide. This is a shadow serpent. It's 3+ difficulty, so I'm supposed to fight it now. The shadow serpent lunges at you. A deadly chill surges through you as the shadow drains you for 16 XP and 11 XP. Yeah, it's pretty tough, but I guess I was just unlucky. Drains me for 11 HP and then 8 and then 6. But otherwise, I'm doing lots of damage. And it is now slain. 266 experience, then 256 experience to general. The Shadow Serpent, its last store of energy spent, is no longer able to hold together the strands of gloom from which it derives its fearsome form. The silhouetted serpent rapidly dissipates into weaving bands of shadow and sliver off along the passage. The sea of darkness that fills the corridor swiftly recedes. In a matter of moments, the unnatural gloom that flooded the passage is gone. After checking over your equipment and making certain nothing else is lurking in the surrounding shadows, you once again set off on your way. Did that do anything? There's still a fair number of wandering foes left. Okay, now I'm checking out the east side. Oak Rock Archetype. Quick combat that. 17 experience. Mechanical Goblin this time. Your exploration comes to abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wagner's Labyrinth. A mechanized goblin, crafted out of iron and copper, emits a chorus of echoing clanks as it moves towards you out of the darkness ahead. The strange automaton, squarish metal head bearing an engraved fang-filled grin, raises a crude but sharp blade as it prepares to attack. Quick combat, it is slain. 14 XP. Thankful to survive the encounter, you spend several moments checking over your gear before once again setting off through the labyrinth. And a bit of healing after that too. Right, question mark on the east side. Oh, it's another one of those white stones with the serpent on it. And the serpent wiggles and weaves. Don't know what it's doing, but whatever it's doing it very well. Okay, northeast corner. Oh, nope, can't get there. Been teleported. Okay, can I... I'm in the southwest corner. I pulled the lever. Teleported to the middle. Alright, if I approach that from the other side... Alright, I've been teleported to the south... To the northwest, northeast corner. Can I pull the lever now? Pull the lever. 32 experience to general. You take hold of the iron lever and pull it down. After several moments, you release the lever and watch as it slowly returns to its original position. Okay, and teleport it away. Okay, I've pulled levers in the southwest and northeast corner. And apparently you can only get to them by teleporting from the opposite side of the dungeon. There was no ogre up then, but here's Mechanical Goblin. 13 experience. Dwindling number of wandering foes remain. Finally, teleported. Okay, I'm in the north. Now in the northwest corner. Time to pull another lever, perhaps. But Oakwork Archetype turns up first and is quick combated for 17 XP. Pull the lever, 32 experience to general. And teleport away. Okay, I wanna do the southeast corner, so I'm gonna try to go to the northwest corner. Oh, there was a drainage track, but I failed it. I have have 11 Neville Reserve drained away. There's an Ogrok archetype. Quick combat that. 17 experience. All right. Tried to go into the northwest corner. End up teleported into the southeast corner. Archetype again. Quick combat. 17 experience. Pull the lever. 32 experience to general. You take hold of the iron lever and pull it down. After several moments, you release the lever and watch it slowly return to its original position. A short iron lever protrudes from the wall here. The outline of a serpent engraved just to the right of the lever. Now, with those four levers pulled, I should be able to do something. Maybe it's that pulling those levers unleashed the serpents on the cubes at the edge, and I've been fighting them. Oh, I was teleported again. I'm in the middle. Ogrok archetype again. Quick combat. 17 experience. Still a dwindling number of wandering foes remain. Drain check. Failed. 11 Neville Reserve drained away. I'm losing most of it now. Okay. What? Anything changed on the eastern? The eastern square. A block of white stone protrudes from the wall. This section of the corridor. Engraved in black upon the smooth surface of the white block is the silhouette of a serpent. Alright, nothing's changed there. Maybe the north side has changed? Nope, that's the same. Maybe Ogrok archetype blocks me, but not for long. 17 experience. Alright, I'm kind of going through. Oh, here we are. Your reliable light source splutters as a dense, churning river of gloom suddenly surges along the passage. As the unnatural darkness surrounds you, you quickly become aware of something slithering through the shadows. Only a split second later, the massive, inky black silhouette of a horned serpent rises up before you. The shadow serpent, easily the size of a small dragon, silently stretches its fang-filled jaws and prepares to engage you. Alright, I'm going to fight it directly, because I used shadow magic the first time, so fight directly this time. You bravely draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the serpent lunges at you, its jaws stretched wide. So, you don't get anything interesting for fighting it directly, because you never do. It's always more fun to try a skill or a power on a monster first. And, of course, more effective, because you hurt it. Or you kill it. Or you kill several of them. Or you distract it. Or you do something that makes it easier. Well, usually. Begin combat. The shadow serpent lunges at you. It fights like the first one we fought a bit back. A few minutes, that is. And bash, 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 bash. It is slain. 76 experience and 256 experience. Less combat experience that time. Is it less? I think it's less. Shadow Serpent, its last store of energy spent, is no longer able to hold together the strands of gloom from which it derives its fearsome form. The silhouette serpent rapidly dissipates. To weaving bands of shadow that sliver off along the passage. The sea of darkness that fills the corridor swiftly recedes. In a matter of moments, the unnatural gloom that flooded the passage is gone. After checking over your equipment and making certain nothing else is lurking in the surrounding shadows, you once again set off on your way. Exploration status, still a dwindling number of wandering foes remain. Alright, western corner. Blazoned in black upon the smooth surface of the white block is the silhouette of a serpent. It's not wiggling anymore. I guess that's probably because the serpent has got out and is trying to kill me. Energy drain check. Success. Only 3 Neville Reserve drained away. Graving of attacker back. And no, nothing's changed there. South side. Yeah. Here's another. Here's another one of those shadow serpents. Going to use shadow magic. Succeeded 32 experience to general. No, shadow magic. Not general. Shadow magic. You hurriedly channel your... Oh, and also, I've got now got more than 500,000 general experience. And it can be just pile up in a big pile, because you never know, something might come... There might be a sudden... Maybe in an event, there'll be something that says, requires... The event is, and it's like, requires, I don't know... level 80 conjuration for something to happen. In which case I'll be like, yeah, let's do it. Level 80 conjuration. But for now. Now I'm just piling up. And maybe you'll get one of those items you level up with your general experience. Or something like the Circle of the Wolf. 32 experience in shadow magic. Anyway, you hopefully channel your power of shadow magic. At once a chorus of shrill, ghostly whispers fills your head as the shadows arrive, slipping through the sea of gloom to heed your summons. The fearsome, silhouetted serpent suddenly shudders as shadows go to work. Despite having been weakened by the attack of shadows, the serpent lunges at you, its jaws stretched wide. It's another shadow serpent. It tries to drain me. Now I go into battle rage. Stop draining me! A deathly chill surges through you as shadows drain you for 12 damage. Fortunately, it doesn't seem that the drainage heals it. Or if it does, I don't notice. Anyway, it is slain. 266 experience. Looks like you gain more experience if you weaken it with shadow magic first. Definitely does seem that way. Because I only got 76 for fighting it. For fighting it directly. But both times I used shadow magic, I got 266. I guess in this scenario, you should definitely use shadow magic. I mean, if you have it, but I don't really think you should. I don't think you get this deep in the mad. Usually without having got shadow magic. And you get so much experience of shadow magic when you get it. You're pretty likely to get it to level 70 without any real bother. Anyway, 256 experience to general. The Shadow Serpent. Its last store of energy spent. It's no longer able to hold together the strands of gloom from which it derives its fearsome form. The silhouetted serpent rapidly dissipates into writhing bands of shadow that sliver off along the passage. The sea of darkness that fills the corridor swiftly recedes. In a matter of moments, the unnatural gloom that flooded the passage is gone. After checking over your equipment, making certain nothing else is lurking in the surrounding shadows, you once again set off on your way. Time to keep wandering. We've got to defeat the fourth of these shadow serpents. Mechanical ogre. I don't care about you. You're not a shadow serpent. I only care about the shadow serpents right now. Now I'm going to stay. I'm staying away from the corners because there's all those teleports there. Quick combat. Ritual archetype. 17 experience. Small number of wandering foes remain. We got through most of them now. Just gonna keep wandering around until they're all gone. Mechanical goblin is up next, and it is also smashed to tiny, tiny pieces. I hope I don't step on any of the sharp bits that remain. Energy draining check. 2 Nether Reserve was drained away. And here's another shadow serpent. Gonna use shadow magic on it. The shadow serpent, easily the size of a small dragon, silently stretches wide its fang-filled jaws and prepares to use shadow magic. 32 experience to shadow magic. You childishly channel your power of shadow magic. At once the chorus of shrill, ghostly whispers fills your head as the shadows arrive. slipping through a sea of gloom to heed your summons. The fearsome silhouetted serpent suddenly shudders as the shadows go to work. Despite having been weakened by the attack of the shadows, the serpent lunges you with jaws stretched. While fighting this manually, lunges at you. It does a few drainage attacks. For 11 damage, 14 damage. I've missed a few because I'm clicking through so fast. Keep going. It's nearly done. 14%, 12%, 6%, 1% remains of its health. Bash! And it is done. 266 experience. 256 experience to general. The Shadow Serpent. Its last store of energy spent. Yep, it does seem... I'm pretty sure that using the shadow magic gets you more combat experience, an easier fight, I assume. I haven't really checked, but I assume it's easier. You more combat experience, an easier fight, and the 32 experience to shadow magic. I mean, the only reason you won't do it is perhaps all your Nether Reserve has already been drained away before you got to it. Which admittedly could happen. There's quite a lot of those drainage spots there. And you can't escape from this floor to restore. So if you run out, you've just gotta deal with it. The Shadow Serpent, its last store of energy spent. It's no longer able to hold together the strands of gloom from which it derives its fearsome form. The silhouetted serpent rapidly dissipates into weaving bands of shadow that sliver off along the passage. The sea of darkness that fills the corridor swiftly recedes. In a matter of moments, the unnatural gloom that filled the passage is gone. After checking over your equipment and making certain nothing else is lurking in the surrounding shadows, you once again set off on your way. Okay. Alright, exploration status. Lone wandering foe remains. What could it be? Oh, it's just an Okuok archetype. Not really that fancy a finale for that, but okay. Now I'm going to check out the white stone blocks in the corners. Nope, nothing happening there. Insecure engraving attack back. Examine the engraving. As you step up to the wall and attempt to closely examine the engraved Takaback, a swarm of weaving shadows draw up around the carving, completely obscuring it. And then we have a suddenly. The swarming shadows suddenly depart, allowing you to have an obscured view of the engraving. I guess the shadows know better than to mess with me now. The engraved image on the wall is that of a Takaback. The creature whose likeness you've encountered all throughout the perilous labyrinth. The carved Takaback broad wings are spread, as if the predatory bird is taking to flight. Curiously, however, one of the feathers on the bird's white wing is missing. In place is a feather-shaped impression. A particular item may be of use here. Well, I've got something that's feather-shaped, the solid silver feather. I've used it. 2048 experience to general. You draw out your solid silver feather and press it into the impression on the engraved Takaback's wing. It's a perfect fit. A flash of white light envelops the engraving. When the light fades, you're taken aback to discover the silver feather, now solid stone. Well, that's the exact opposite of what you normally expect to happen with alchemy. We've turned a precious metal into regular stone. Yes, has become a permanent part of the engraving, and now I no longer have it. If there's anything I got it, if anything up in previous floors that it was used for, can't use it anymore. But I'm pretty sure I got everything there, and obviously, there's no use for it in the future floors. Because otherwise they wouldn't let you get rid of it. Because Ragnar plans for this sort of things. You only give up an item when you're done with it. Without warning, the engraved Takaback suddenly springs to life. stone bird rapidly flaps its broad wings for several seconds, for once again becoming still. I'm 97% certain we'll have to smash it at some point. Okay, can I get out now? Can I go to the next level? Alright. Well, okay, looks like the ways down have reappeared, but can I use them? Inverted pyramid formation, place your hand in impression. Yes, just the glowy thing. 384 experience to general. Okay, that... We're pretty close to an hour, so that's enough madding for now. Grey slab, down to floor 30, we can have a peek at it. Well, this one seems to be a fairly modest floor so far, from what we can see so far. But who knows what it does to the east. As I'm on the west side, there's a corridor to the north with alcoves sticking out, and a corridor to the south with alcoves sticking out. And beyond that, well, we don't know yet. And if we do get off, we might be stuck there. So let's just onto the engraved slab and make our way out of Wackner's Mad in the usual way. And there we are. We have made our exit. Call off the exploration. Now to go to Ashlar. We tell people of our latest adventures, or at least, should we? Should we tell people about our adventures in the Mad? Probably not. Okay, we'll tell people about our latest adventures that I don't feel I have to keep secret. And the ones that I do have to keep secret, with other adventures, I change names and locations in order to protect people's identity. I mean, the thing is, Sir Crocodile is now so famous that if I mention someone was rescued by me, they end up swarmed by fans who just want, by my fans, who just want people to tell them about how they've met me. That's just how famous Sir Crokington is. Just being associated with me is enough to get you swarmed. So that's why I tend to switch the names about when I tell people about my latest adventures in the bars. That's the names of anybody, you know, in the kingdom. But when it's adventures deep in the Neverness or through the Tome of Attainment, when we get round to that. And I can't tell anyone about what's happened in Sharkguard Island, of course. That's all very secret. But anyway, in the next adventure, we will be going down, what is it, to level 30 of Wackner's Mad, I think. And anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers. Oh, we're so close to exactly an hour. I'm going to let this run for just a few more seconds so that I can end the episode at exactly 1 hour.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.